If you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter number 6. Daniel, chapter number 6. We'll begin reading at verse number 19 in just a moment. Daniel, chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse number 19 in just a moment. In Daniel, chapter 6, we find the familiar story of Daniel in the lion's den. As a captive in the land of Babylon, Daniel maintained his devotion to God while living in a heathen land. And because an excellent spirit was in him, Daniel was promoted to top official under King Darius. But a wicked plot by men who hated Daniel led to him being cast into the den of lions in accordance to the royal decree that had been established. And in Daniel chapter number 6, we pick up this story the following morning after Daniel had spent the night in the den of lions. And in verse number 19, the Bible says, "Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." Look with me again at verse number 23 in this chapter. In Daniel chapter 6, at the very end of verse number 23, the Bible says of Daniel that he believed in his God. He believed in his God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do thank you for this time. Lord, I am mindful of the fact that apart from thee, I can do nothing. And apart from thee, Lord, I am nothing. But I can do all things, Lord God, through you, who strengtheneth me. So, God, I pray even now during this hour that you would fill me with thy holy and precious spirit, dear God. Enable me, Lord God, to deliver and to apply thy word, Lord God, as you would have me during this hour. Lord, I pray that you would arrest our attention, O God. And I pray for those under the sound of my voice that they too would be, Lord, spirit-filled listeners, and that our hearts would be good ground for thee. And Lord, that we would not allow the familiarity of this story to cause our mind to wander and to drift as if we know it all. God, as the man of God said in Sunday school, your word is a deep well, God. It's a never-ending story, Lord God. So help us to glean and to grab a hold of what you have for us this morning, dear God. And Lord, I pray a special prayer for these young people, Lord God, that you would help them, Lord. Increase their faith. Increase our faith, dear God. Have your will and way in our lives. And if there be anybody here that does not know your son, the Lord Jesus, as their personal Savior, may this be the glad day of their salvation before it's eternally too late. And when the last amen is said, help us to be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, in which thou art so worthy of. And in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, amen and amen. The life of faith may be a path of great danger, but it is also the highway of safety. And though the faith life has many adversities, which makes every day a battle, yet Christians who live by faith will have God's unseen hand of protection upon their lives. For Daniel, the sole explanation as to why he could spend the night in a den with ferocious beasts and come out unharmed is faith. Daniel, no doubt, was a man who believed God. Daniel, if you recall, the very reason that Daniel had been thrown into the lion's den was because of his faithfulness to God. These wicked leaders, they tried to trap Daniel, and they realized that they couldn't trap Daniel according to the kingdom, so they tried to trap Daniel in accordance to the law of his God. And what they did was they coerced, they convinced King Darius to set up a royal decree, to set up a law that if anybody prayed to a god or a man other than the king for the next 30 days, that that person would be cast into the den of lions. And no doubt Daniel didn't let that decree stop him from his devotion to God. And Daniel continued to pray to God as he always did. And of course they found out about it and told the king. And after they told the king, Daniel, of course, was cast into the den of lions. He was thrown in the lion's den. He was made to spend the night with ferocious beasts. Hungry lions, the king of all animals. Watch this. But in the midst of great danger, Daniel depended upon the Lord. And God honored his trust in him and protected his faithful servant from all manner of hurt. Somebody asked the question, well, why? Why is it? Or how was it that Daniel was able to spend the night with these lions and nothing happened to him? One word, faith. And not just faith in anybody, not just faith in anything, but faith in the true and living God. Daniel was able to spend the night with these lions and come out unharmed because he believed in his God. Young people, I don't know you. I just heard a little bit about some of you that you're getting ready to go off of college, and some people are alarmed about the certain dangers that exist on college campuses and in this world as a whole, and we should be. But can I tell you something? Faith in God will see you through. I said faith in God will see you through. And although we're living in perilous times, there's great concerns for the safety of Christians all over the world. It ought to comfort our hearts to know that we're safe in Christ. The same God who delivered Daniel is able to deliver those of us who trust in him with our whole hearts from all present danger. Therefore, as we take a closer look at this particular passage of Scripture, may the Spirit of God encourage our hearts to trust, to believe in the living God who is able to deliver us from all harm. As we begin, notice first of all the deliverance of Daniel. The deliverance of Daniel. You see, the night that Daniel was thrown into this lion's den, there was a great deal of unrest in the heart of King Darius. Darius had tried all he could try to deliver Daniel from the lions. And After a sleepless night, the Bible tells us that this Darius rushed to the den of lions and he sought to find out whether or not God was able to deliver Daniel from the lions. There are three things I want you to note as we lead up to Daniel's deliverance. Number one, notice Darius rushed to the den. In Daniel chapter 6, look with me at verse 19 and 20. The Bible says, "Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions." Notice verse 20. The Bible says, "And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice." In other words, the king was weeping. He was greatly concerned about God's man. The Bible says he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God," watch this now, don't miss this. Notice that next word. "Is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" My wife and I was having a discussion, and I don't mean to put on the spot, and this is not really a spot thing, but she referred to Darius somewhat as to what, well, she asked me, whether or not, now listen, y'all done heard little babies crying before. That little baby ain't gonna out-preach me. I just pull this thing closer to my mouth and get louder. And if you can't hear me from here, I come closer to make sure you hear me. Amen. Amen. So Darius, having spent this restless night, unable to sleep for concern of what had happened to Daniel, and the fact that Daniel had been thrown into the lion's den, the very next morning, the Bible tells us in verse 19, early the next morning, Darius, with haste, he rushed to the den of lions, get this now, to find out if God was able to deliver Daniel from the lions. Let me help you with something. For believers, it's not a matter of if. For believers, we ought not question whether or not our God is able. Let me help you with something. God is able. Darius said this. He said, is thy God? From a doubtful heart. He wasn't real sure, although you can't credit him for going to the den just to check on Daniel. But he didn't have a heart of faith. He said, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? But by the way, let me give you this before we move on. Realize what Darius said about Daniel. He recognized that Daniel served the Lord continuously. This heathen king, this man that didn't know God, observed Daniel's life. And he recognized that Daniel was a faithful servant of the true and living God. Can I tell you something since this Youth Sunday, young people? I don't care what school you go to. I don't care whether it's in Tennessee or at Florida State. Get this. People that watch you and observe your life, at some point, they ought to come to the conclusion that you're a servant of the living God. Now, that ain't just for young people. As the preacher said earlier, it's for all of us. Hey, the people that you work with, the people in your family, in your community, without you opening your mouth, they ought to be able to tell that there's something about this man, there's something about this woman. Here lies a servant of the living God. And notice the word continually. I don't know about you, but I'm ashamed of my inconsistency when it comes to serving God. I mean, I'm hot one minute, and I'm cold the next, and I'm in between all the other days. Now, you can look at me and all cross-eyed if you want to. But don't sit there like all sanctimonious, like you've arrived in your service of God. And I'm going to help some of you. Some of you know you ain't serving God continuously because you won't be back tonight. Yeah, man. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Hey, some of us do good on Sunday morning. But it's almost like God is asking too much for us to be back on Sunday night. Yeah, man. See, y'all starting to leave me now. This ain't the point I'm trying to make, but this is what we find here. He say, is thy God? Look at it again so you don't think I'm making it up. Look at verse number 20 again. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest how? Continually able to deliver thee from the lion. Daniel was a man who served God on a consistent basis. No wonder what God would show up on behalf of this man. No wonder God would respond to the faith of this man. He served God continually. And although, watch this, we have not arrived, it ought to be our life goal to be faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. He rushed to the den, and he asked the question, is thy God? It's not a matter of is. We know that our God is able. We see he rushed to the den. But not only do we see Darius rush to the den, notice secondly, Daniel responded from the den. In Daniel chapter 6, look at verse number 21. The Bible says, so here is Daniel responding to the question of King Darius. In verse 21, Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Now, hold your finger right there long enough to think about this. This is, of course, not the point I'm trying to make, but think about what we find here. Daniel, cast into the den of lions, then spent the night in the den of lions according to the royal decree, the decree that the king was duped into making. And the king showed up the next morning to the den, and he asked Daniel, in other words, are you alive? Are you okay? And Daniel responds from the den, O king, live forever. I don't know about you, but the last person I probably would have wanted to talk to after having spent the night in the den is the king. And if we're honest, most of us, instead of blessing the king, we'd have been bitter at the king. Come on, help me now. Come on, help me now. Hey, king, what you come here for? You the reason I'm in here. Yeah. But he said, O king, live forever. He favored the king. He blessed the king. And notice his response. Notice his testimony concerning the power of God. In verse 22, he said, my God, watch this now, young people. Is God your God? I'm not talking about whether or not he's your mama God. I'm not talking about whether or not he's your daddy God or the pastor's God. Is God your God? In other words, is it personal? You see, a lot of times, and I ain't picking at young people as a whole, but there are many cases where young people grew up in what we would say a Christian home. And they grew up in church. But when they leave, and I think Brother Lance talked about that precious age of, he said 18 to 22, but I like to think of like 18 to 25. See, that's when you find out whether or not God is really their God. See, it has to be personal. I heard one preacher say, nothing is real until it's personal. And Daniel, his relationship with God was personal. That's why he remained faithful to God, although he was in Babylonian captivity, although he was in a heathen land. What he learned in his youth stuck with him all the days of his life. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I appreciate the two or three of y'all that's still with me. But that's what we find here. He was a young man when he went off to captivity. But he went off with a personal relationship with the true and living God. And he says again, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Don't miss this also. They can say, hey, I'm innocent before God. I ain't do nothing. See, don't wonder why you get in trouble if you're guilty of sinning against God. We ought not wonder why our things ain't the way they're supposed to be if we won't be faithful like we should. But Daniel, a man who was devoted to God, was able to declare in response to the king, hey, my God has sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth before whom I'm innocent. But not only before God, king, I'm innocent before you. You know I ain't do nothing. A lot of times we get that kind of twist mixed up. We want to at least appear innocent before the pastor or mom and daddy or before the brethren, but we're not innocent before God. Let me help with something. Before you try to look the part before the brethren, you ought to want to make sure you got things right before a holy and righteous God. Yeah, man, that's a divine order right there. He said, I'm innocent before God. Me and God is all right. And I'm innocent before you. I ain't done nothing. He responded. He declared, get this, Daniel responded, declaring that his God had delivered him from the lions. God has protected me from these ferocious beasts. Listen to what the Bible says. I won't have you turn now. I'm staying on this point a little longer than I thought. In Psalm 34, I'm sorry, just listen to it. Psalm 34 and verse 7, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Daniel had God's unseen hand of protection on his life. And God protected his faithful servant from these lions. We see his response. But not only do we see the response of Daniel, notice a third thing. Daniel was released from the den of lions. Daniel chapter 6, look at verse 33. The Bible says, then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he believed in his God. Hey, faith was the victory. Daniel came out of this lion's den unharmed. By the way, there was not even a scratch upon Daniel. Unharmed, unblemished, unstretched. Because he believed in his God. Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hold your place right here in Daniel chapter 6. And turn over there with me to Hebrews chapter number 11. That chapter we call the Great Hall of Faith. And let's hear what the Bible has to say about this particular incident of Daniel in the lion's den. In Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse number 33. The Bible says, who through faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Notice this last expression. Stop the mouth of lions. Let me ask you a question. What did you think that is referring to? The Spirit of God is saying, hey, through faith, Daniel believed in his God, and because of his faith in God, it stopped the mouth of lions. Watch this now. Oftentimes, I'm a parent, we get concerned about what type of world our children and grandchildren gonna live in. Now, that's a legitimate concern. Those of you that have been around a time, as the Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see that happening before our very eyes. Young people, this world ain't getting no better. But can I tell you something? It's not about what kind of world we're going to live in. It's about what kind of faith you're going to have in God. Did y'all get that? Because some of y'all kind of hesitated, amen. Yeah, man. Listen. I'm not overwhelmingly concerned with what kind of world my kids going to live in. I'm concerned with what kind of faith my kids going to have in God. Yeah. See, no matter the type of world we live in, faith in God will see you through. Are y'all getting that? Some of y'all, you know what it is? Some of y'all bloated on the news. And you find that the troubles that's going on in this world, you in your mind, you think that it's bigger than our God. Hey, there's nothing too hard for God. ISIS is not bigger than God. Al-Qaeda, whoever, they're not bigger than God. If God can shut the mouth of these lions, God can shut, or God is able to see us through all trouble if we would just trust in him. I'll tell you what's missing. Faith in God. God's people. If we're honest, we're not trusting God like we should. Our God is able. Our God is able. I tell you, he's able. He's able. I know that he is able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. That's what we need. Faith in God. A robust faith in the true and living God. Let me give you this and I'm going to move on. You see, Daniel was released from the den by King Darius. But watch this. He was delivered by King Jesus. I said he was released by King Darius, but he was delivered by King Jesus. And if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's a certain eternity waiting on you. If you die in your sin, you're going to spend your eternity in a devil's hell. And we call it a devil's hell because it's a place that God prepared for the devil and his angels. The Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to know him. And God, the same God who delivered Daniel, is able to deliver you from the penalty of your sin, which is death and hell and eternal separation from God. You don't have to die and go to hell, sir. You don't have to die and go to hell, ma'am. The Lord Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross at Calvary. He was buried and rose again the third day, that the sinner man might be saved, that he might be delivered from his sins. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, whether young or old, there's nothing that would crown this youth Sunday like a lost sinner coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Number one, we see the deliverance of Daniel. Not only do we see the deliverance of Daniel, notice secondly, the destruction of Daniel's accusers and their families. In Daniel chapter 6, look at verse 24. The Bible says, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Listen to this. The destruction that Daniel's accusers tried to bring upon him fell upon them. King Darius realized that they had manipulated him. They had tricked him into setting Daniel up to be thrown in the lion's den, and instead of Daniel being destroyed by these lions, God delivered Daniel, and Daniel commanded, he ordered that Daniel's accusers and their families be cast in the den of lions. And get this, before they could hit the bottom of the den, the Bible says these lions had the mastery over them. Now, some wise Alec, or however you say that, some wise guy might say, well, the reason the lions didn't eat Daniel was because they weren't hungry. No. God shut them out. These lions were hungry. I don't know about you, but if you ever watched one of those Animal Planet type programs, I ain't never seen a lion that wasn't hungry. Some of those lions get so hungry they eat their own children. Yeah. If you watch enough of it, hey, but watch this. These lions were hungry. And before these men and their wives and their children could hit the bottom of the den, the lions broke their bones, ate them alive. Now, I know some of you, you say, boy, that's pretty sad. It is. It's sad. But watch this. It was according to the Persian law that this happened. You see, these men had wronged Daniel. They tried to set Daniel up, but in doing so, they got found out. And it wasn't just that these men were destroyed, their wives and their children. You say, why did this happen? You know why it happened? It happened to prevent retaliation against the king. See, if the king would have just had these men destroyed, then maybe their sons or their daughters would have rose up later on and tried to kill the king for what he did to dad. Or maybe the wives would have tried to poison king. I don't know. But they did it to prevent retaliation. But let me give you a Bible verse. Now, this is not God's way, but let me give you a Bible verse. In Proverbs chapter 26, just listen to me. In verse 27, here's what the Bible says. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. In other words, my mama used to say, son, be careful about digging holes for other people, because that same hole that you dig, you might fall in yourself. And that's what happened. The trap that they set for Daniel was the trap that ended their lives. And I want to tell you something. Great destruction will come upon those who try to hurt God's faithful servant. Get your eyes off people. Get your eyes off yourself. Look to God. And people that come against you for being faithful to God, I tell you, God will deal with them. We see the destruction of Daniel's accusers and their families. Now, this is Bible way, and I know y'all adhere to the Bible way, and I'm just preaching the Bible. Amen. So y'all should be with me on this now. Amen. Not only do we see the deliverance and the destruction, but there's a third thing I want you to note. Notice the decree of King Darius. In Daniel chapter 6, look at verse 25. The Bible says, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Verse 26. I make a decree, a commandment, an order, that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Get this, Darius commanded everybody in his kingdom to reverence the God of Daniel. Can you imagine that? Daniel had such an influence on this man. Daniel was so faithful to God that after God delivered Daniel from the lion's den, Darius was convinced of Daniel's God. To the point where he said, everybody tremble in fear. Everybody in my kingdom reverence the God of Daniel. And this is not the first time we find a king in the book of Daniel making a decree in favor of the cause of Christ. Hold your place right here and turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, you'll find out in verse number 28 and 29, you'll find out that King Nebuchadnezzar made a decree in favor of the cause of Christ. Daniel chapter 3, look at verse number 28. The Bible says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, you know who these three are. These are Daniel's friends. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Watch this. Who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. You see, hey, like Daniel, Daniel has some friends who believed in God. Daniel has some friends who trusted in the Lord. I didn't plan on saying this, but the Spirit of God has given me insight. Young people, you know who y'all friends ought to be? Your friends ought to be other people who trust in the Lord. Amen. Amen. See, if my dog got fleas and yours don't, you let him hang out, your dog going to get fleas too. And you find yourself, some of you that's going off to college, can I tell you something? There are a whole bunch of heathens in college. And a lot of them don't want nothing to do with your God. And I want to tell you something. You say, hey, Brother Duhart told me this before I left. If you don't want nothing to do with my God, you don't want nothing to do with me. But you know what the problem is? We don't have those type of convictions. Let me just throw that out there, too. We call that being mean and judgmental and all. No. If you don't want nothing to do with my God, you don't want nothing to do with me. Let me give y'all this one. It won't cost you nothing. My wife knows the story. At least I think I told her. Before I met my wife, I'm talking specifically to you young people. Before I met my wife, and let me lower my voice so you don't think I'm fussing at you. Hey, boy, wake up. Right there. Hey. Boy, wake up. Listen, he might need to stand up. He gone. Okay, anyway, back from commercial break. Anyway, before I look like you listening to me, I'm going to talk to you. You're a senior. You graduated. Before I met my wife, there was a young lady. Come on, don't go to looking off on me now. We okay. There was a young lady that, you know, I thought maybe we had a chance. You know what I mean? Like, we could go to the altar and all that, they get married, whatever. And she told me, and I don't know if I told this at this church before, but I'm going to tell it anyway again. She told me after maybe a week or two of dating, she said, Otis, you talk about Jesus too much. Yeah. Now, I was a young Christian now, so y'all be merciful to me. Now, you would think, Pastor Renoir, that I'd bold up my chest and be like, well, if you don't want nothing to do with my Jesus, you don't want nothing to do with me. That ain't what I did. When she told me she ain't want nothing to do with my Jesus, you know what I'm going to say? She told me I talk about Jesus, but you know what I did? I started talking about Jesus. Yeah. But that ain't how it's supposed to be. Hey, I'm sorry. I ain't trying to be cutthroat, but if you don't want nothing to do with my God, ultimately, you don't want anything to do with me. I got old friends that, man, we did the gamut with. But now that I'm trying to serve God, they don't want no part of that. But Daniel, he had three friends who just like him, boy, they trusted in God. And I went a long way, but the point I'm trying to say is you ought to want to have friends who trust in the same God you trust in. You know what it'll do? It'll encourage your faith. Yeah. Verse 28, Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies. Boy, I'm telling you, they were wholeheartedly given to God. They had yielded their lives to God, even in a heathen land. See, I told you, it don't matter where you're at, that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own God. Hey, they kept themselves from idols. These young men would not bow down to other gods. Too many of our young people and adults as well are bowing down to other things other than the true and living God. Verse 29, therefore, here's the king. I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Wow. And their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Hey, after God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from that fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar made a decree that if anybody speaks against their God, they'll be cut in pieces. I'm trying to tell you that these young men were so faithful to God. They were so given to God that powerful leaders of their day made decrees in favor of the cause of Christ. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. We ought to be so faithful to our God, giving God an opportunity to use our influence to influence powerful leaders of our day to make major decisions in favor of our God. Number one, we see the deliverance. But not only do we see the deliverance, we see the destruction and the decree. But there's a fourth and final thing I want you to note. Notice, fourthly, Daniel prospered. In Daniel chapter 6, turn back with me there, and let's look at verse number 28 together as we think about this thought of Daniel prospering. In Daniel chapter 6, look at verse number 28. The Bible says, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of King Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Hey, this chapter ends on a high note. It ends referencing the prosperity of Daniel. Now, I know where I'm at. Now, the charismatics has caused many Christians to kind of shy away from this word prosperity or prosper. And we like to think that when you talk about prosperity, it only talks about wealth and health and all those type of things. No, 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 no. Can I tell you in a nutshell, when the Bible says that Daniel prospered, he prospered in the things of God. You finish reading Daniel. It's 12 chapters. You will find out that great truths, great understanding. This man knew God. This man heard from God. This man spoke for God. This man was used for God. Therefore, he prospered in the things of God. Young people, you can have all the education in the world and not prosper in the things of God. And I'm not against education. I'm married to an educator. And I may not sound like it, but I got a little education myself. I got 2 master's degrees. But can I tell you, what really matters is whether or not we prosper in the things of God. And Daniel, because he believed in his God, because he was faithful to God, he prospered no matter who was in office. That's what I said. He prospered during the reign of King Darius. He prospered during the reign of King Cyrus, the Persian. See, a lot of times we get all bogged down about who in the White House. Boy, it got quiet there. Yeah. Yeah. Listen. Your prosperity and my prosperity in the things of God, why I need to sit down. That's why I like being around you. God bless you, preacher. You're an encouragement to me, yeah? One thing, when I think about Pastor Van Noy, I think about a man who is excited about God. Yeah. I ain't never been around him and he's been singing the blues. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you being with me on this. At least 2 of us got it. I think it's about 1 or 2 of you over there. Listen. He prospered during the reign of two different kings. And we say, oh man, if so-and-so is in the White House, we're going to have a hard time. Oh, if she is elected president, we're going to have a hard time. Hey, your prosperity in the things of God is not based on the president, whether it's him or her or somebody who don't know what they are. Your prosperity in the things of God, and my prosperity in the things of God, is based on, is predicated upon our faithfulness to the true and living God. Listen. There's a connection. There's a connection between faith in God and the protection of God. Daniel believed in his God, and God delivered him from the lions. And because of his faithfulness, this man prospered in the things of God. Young people, dear Christians, let us exercise faith. Let us put our utmost trust in the true and living God, who is able. Yes, this world is getting worse and worse, but our God is able to deliver us from all harm if we trust him. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for helping me. You knew all of my cares, all of my concerns leading into this. Lord, I know in and of myself I couldn't make sense of nothing, even though we're familiar with this story. Thank you, Lord, for what you've brought out. Thank you for what you've reminded me, and thank you for what you've given me in this hour. Thank you for speaking to the hearts of this thy people. And God, I pray and ask you to help us. Lord, increase our faith. Help us, Lord, like Daniel, to believe you, like his friends, Lord, to trust in you. Lord, I know in my heart sometimes I doubt, and I don't faith you like I should. And I pray and ask your forgiveness. And Lord, that you'd help me to trust you in spite of financial hardships, in spite of what's going on at home or in this world around me. Lord, help me to believe you. Help me to trust and know that you're able. And Lord, I pray a special prayer for these young people, Lord, especially those that are graduating. And not just those that are graduating, but I've been on a high school campus before. I've been on a college campus before, and that somebody prayed or at least mentioned most of these places are not encouraging young people to live for you and to be faithful to you. It's totally against the grain. But Lord, we know that in spite of what's going on, that they could have a faithful witness. They could be a faithful testimony to those around them if they would just trust you. And Lord, I pray not just for the young people alone, but for the adults as well, Lord, that you'd help us to exercise faith in you. And God has mentioned, if there be anybody here that does not know you as their personal Savior, that this would be the glad day of their salvation. Help them to know your great love for them, and that you died and was buried and rose again the third day, and how desperately you want to save them in this hour. Help us, I pray, in your name. Amen.